Hey mamas, and welcome to the Entering Motherhood podcast. This is your one-stop, go-to place for getting you from feeling drained, exhausted, and unfulfilled in motherhood to feeling more energized, organized, and accomplished. That's the vision I continue to navigate towards, and that's the vision we are sharing with you, focusing on holistic alternatives and restructuring your mind, body, and soul from the inside out. I'm your host, Sarah Marie Bilger, a wife, mom of two, mechanical engineer, VBAC mom, and doula, serving mamas through pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. If you're here for this, if you're as pumped up as I am and searching for that fire that you know is deep inside of you, then let's go. Let's uncover what it truly means to enter motherhood. You are a rock star. I believe in you. Let's doula this. Let's crank it up a notch and let's kick it into high gear together. Hey mamas, and welcome to another episode of Entering Motherhood. In this episode specifically, we're diving deep into Kate Walker's incredible 20-year journey through motherhood, and we explore her experiences, we're sparking curiosity about the diverse paths of motherhood, and empowering you to confidently navigate your own journey. When we're transitioning from this world of self-reliance to caring for another human being, all while balancing life's demands, that is no easy task. And whether you're choosing, you know, different preschools or what extracurricular activities that your children will be doing, the options can be never-ending and certainly can be overwhelming at times. So remember that it's okay to leave space in your schedule and focus on what truly works for you and your family. And in a world of stories and resources that are all out there right now, in this episode, we're attempting to slow down, reflect, and engage in a really meaningful conversation about parenthood that is going to give you an idea of your unique journey and the different dynamics that you might be navigating. So I know that you're going to love this episode with Kate, and you're going to hear her perspective on motherhood, and it's really going to leave you with feeling a sense of ease and just knowing that you are on the right path as you are entering motherhood. So here we go. Hello, and welcome to Entering Motherhood. I am so excited to have you here. So how about you go ahead and introduce yourself for the listeners and get the conversation started?
Yes. Hi, Sarah. Great to be here with you. I've been excited about our conversation. So here we are. So I'm Kate Walker. I will introduce myself as a mother. I know that's the topic of your podcast. I'm a mother. I entered motherhood 20 years ago. I can't, which is really hard to believe. I have two sons. One is 20, one is 17. My 20-year-old has already left the nest. He's down in another city for college, which is bizarre having him away. And then my 17-year-old is in his senior year of high school and did the college applications, already getting some acceptances. So he will be leaving the nest at some point in the fall. So I entered motherhood. I will always be a mother no matter where they are. It's very instinctual. So that's who I am. I'm a mom. And then we can go into this as our conversation meanders there, but I'm also a career mom as well. And I've done the, work-life balance seems maybe not like the right word for it. I know that that's a hot conversation, but juggling the things, doing the things, trying to do your best on a day-to-day basis. So all of those things, that's me. Working, job, kids, driving, carpools, soccer. Yeah. I've been there, and yeah, it's been a beautiful experience.
Yeah, this is such a conversation that I feel comes up, especially, you know, when you are first entering motherhood and you're getting acclimated with all of those things and you're really trying to figure out, like, how do I navigate all of this? You go from typically solely responsible for yourself and all of those daily tasks and navigating life. And now you have these little human beings that you have to incorporate into your already pre-existing life. So if we can kind of track back 20 years ago then, and go right into when you first entered motherhood, and what do you recall being, you know, struggles that you were going through, or what did you find the most difficult, and how were you navigating those then?
Such a great question. And I can remember 20 years ago, like it was yesterday. And the hardest thing, I like to be good at what I do, as do many people. We want to be good at it. We want to know how to do it. And being a mom for the first time, I mean, there's, you can read all the books, and I've read a lot of books, but you just start in it and you have to figure it out. So those were those new baby days and early toddler days were very difficult days, because I just couldn't crack the code on moods and sleep schedules. And I also had difficulty, especially with my second son, not being a very good sleeper. And that only makes you more and more exhausted. So those were days I thought would never end. It's like, can I ever sleep again? Will there ever be a day when I sleep? So those were some definite early, early challenges. And then trying to figure out, okay, I like to work. I have a job. Am I going back to my job? Am I going back to my job full-time, part-time? What am I doing? We need the income. At that, when the kids were younger, and really for most of the time, I was a primary income earner. So, but also knew I want to go and do a job. I like my job. I like the people there. It makes me feel like, you know, kind of gives me some adult time, but I also know that raising my kids is very, very important to me. So how do I find that balance? And that's something that takes years to figure out, in trial and error. There's all those different things. We could also go into finding the preschool and that whole stressful experience when you're getting interviewed and all those things. Finding the right preschool, finding the right schools. It's just, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, it's crazy to think, you know, like even 20 years ago, these are the same things that are still existing right now. Absolutely. And it's kind of like, are these things that we quote unquote, like have to navigate and have to go through and have to figure out if you are going back to work or if you're staying at home? Like, those are decisions that have to be made. Are you choosing a childcare like outside of the home, or are you having somebody in the home? Are you having a nanny and au pair? Like, whatever it might be, there's like so many different choices and decisions that have to be made. And sometimes it's in such a short amount of time.
It is. It is. And I write about this in my book. I know we'll talk about my book throughout the conversation. But the other thing too, is it's really important. This is a learning, again, I share in the book, is that you and your partner should really be aligned as to who is going back to work, or is one of us going back to work, or both of us going back to work, having those financial conversations, and who has the health benefits. And for me, back in those days, it was a little bit of winging in and kind of going with the flow, and we just wait and see, and we kind of figure things out. And I don't think that that's a very prudent planning style. It worked. I mean, it ended up working. Everything always works out, but a more planful approach to those things, I would say, is quite important, especially for the state and sake of your partnership and a marriage, if you're in a marriage, is having those agreements.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess, like, mention your book, like talk about it, let us know a little bit about, you know, like when that came about and what that journey has been like.
It's been an insane journey. So I really, as my kids were young, I've always been a journaler, but as my kids were young, I did a lot of journaling, even in tracking. They took their first step and all the different milestones. And I was also journaling about, unfortunately, kind of plot twist or give away the plot, but my marriage did end up dissolving after a period of time. So I talk about that in the book. And that was really the impetus for the book, was discussing the breakdown of the marriage and those lessons learned, which I just shared a couple of lessons here. It's like, you got to be planful when you've got the kid. So I wanted to share my experiences in the marriage and, unfortunately, the dissolution of the marriage and those lessons learned, and things I wish I would have known. And I also in the book talk about raising the children, talk about raising the kids and the ups and downs there and my lessons there. And as I was writing the book, and as I got introduced to a publisher, I realized, I think I need to go back in time. I think I need to take a little look at my childhood and my youth to see how those experiences impacted my adulthood, my 20s, 30s, and so on. So the book became a little more expansive in talking about not only my life lessons and learnings and stories, and some of the stories are fun and lighthearted, but then going back and just exploring. So really my intention with the reader was helping the reader not having to walk alone. It's like, look, you are probably going like the things we've just talked about, raising a kid and making those decisions and navigating marriage. Those are all the things that you're going through. So you don't need to walk alone. I know I didn't find a book similar to what I write about when I was going through these things. So I felt like maybe there's a niche that I can serve in talking about my experiences and also offering reflection points throughout the book. Like, what do you think about this? Or how did this go? Or all of those things. So I hope it's a tool. I hope it's a resource for especially parents, especially women, where they can see I'm not alone and I'm going to walk with someone on this path. And maybe these are some resources or tools that could be helpful.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously we're having this conversation and I know that there's a lot of conversations going around about motherhood and about balancing things, but why do you feel like it's almost kind of taboo or like not until you step into that role or, you know, like maybe it's just not an everyday sort of like people aren't talking about it like friend to friend all the time. Like maybe they're sort of saying like, oh yeah, like I'm struggling with this or like this is kind of difficult, but like we're not having the time to really sit down and have these conversations in our actual day-to-day existence.
I totally agree. And it's my experience that everybody is having their own experience, whether you're a mom trying to work a little bit or work a lot, or whether you're a mom who's decided to stay at home full time and that feels like the right thing. So there's so many different dynamics. I didn't want to offend anybody by talking about my decisions or what I'm doing or step on anyone's toes with what they're doing. So I feel like it is a delicate dance to have some of those conversations because everybody is in their very, very different situation and scenario. So to that point, I do think that when you find a book or when you find a podcast where you can hear something that resonates with you, it's very exciting because again, everyone's in such a different experience. And especially now we're going so fast and everything is moving so fast. And it's just sometimes where do you slow down and have these conversations? So that's why I'm really glad I'm here with you today so that we can have the conversation about our experiences as mothers.
Yeah. And that's something that I've absolutely loved about podcasting. I think this is such a cool platform and a way of having those conversations and communicating. And, you know, the listener, somebody that's listening right now is able to think about these things and have their own time to process it. And then maybe share it with a friend. Same with books. I think like reading a book and reading through those stories and being able to process it on your own time at your own, you know, leisure, and then be able to be like, hey, like, have you read this book or have you listened to this podcast? Like, I think you would really like it. Or there's the part in the book that blah, 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 blah. So like, what do you think are maybe like your two favorite parts in your book that you, I guess, just like really enjoyed writing?
That is a great question. No one's asked me that question, Sarah. Thank you. You know, I wanted to share my story so that, again, people don't feel like they're walking alone. So I'm proud of that in the book. And then I share these experiences and it's very vulnerable. And interestingly, I was writing the book for strangers. I felt like if someone in Nebraska found the book or someone in, I don't know, somewhere else, I'm in California. If someone else, a stranger found the book and found these messages and sent me an email and said, your book impacted me. Thank you for writing it. And I've had some of those experiences, but also, in fact, I was with my very best friend over the weekend and her husband was on a trip, but called and he was on speaker and he was like, oh yeah, you know, I read your book. I'm like, what? Okay. I'm like, that book is very personal. And it's fine that friends are reading the book, but it's interesting that, yeah, friends are reading the book and learning new things about me or learning about some of my experiences. It's very personal. It's a very personal book. And sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, like, why did it? Like, because it is so personal. But if I can be in service to other women, especially by way of my stories, then that's great. And then a second reason or a second thing I'm proud about in the book is that I do talk about a lot of different transformation points that I went through going to college as a very big pivot point in my life experience, getting married and having a family, massive pivot point, going through a divorce. And then most recently I've been in corporate work for many, many years. And in April, 2021, I went ahead and quit my job. Great job. I loved it. Went ahead and quit just to explore different things that were important to me at that period in time. So I talk about in the book kind of how I got prepared to do that and how I went about and did it. So I do hope that the book, that what I'm most proud of, is really hoping that it can be that aha for someone else or help them through a transformation. So again, the book is so personal, but if I keep going back to this book is in service, then you know, it helps me feel better that it was the right thing to share those vulnerabilities.
Yeah, I think we're going through like this really awesome time right now of being more vulnerable and authentic and sharing these, you know, deep personal stories so that somebody that maybe either has never experienced that before can relate to it and understand it, or somebody that is going through a similar experience can see that there is like a possible outcome, or that there is, you know, hope in different situations.
Absolutely. And,
you know, I think really being able to be in your shoes and be able to be that vulnerable and release something of this magnitude is really inspiring and encouraging to see that people are willing to do that and take those steps.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. It does take a lot of courage. And then, you know, I write about it in the book, just my mind, the chatter that goes on. And sometimes the chatter is like, okay, we're in service. And then other times the chatter in the middle of the night is like, why did you do that? So yeah, but again, it's hoping it can spark someone in Kentucky or Maine who got a hold of the book or got a hold of this podcast to be like, oh gosh, thank you. I'm so glad someone's talking about that. This is helpful to me.
Yeah.
So that feels good.
What would you say in your 20 years of motherhood has been something that's really been helpful in balancing motherhood and navigating all of these different stages?
For me, it's probably been establishing a routine with my kids, and that would be getting home from school and then going to the activity and then coming home, getting dinner ready at a pretty similar time, getting the homework done, doing the baths or whatnot, and then having a bedtime that's at the same time. So I think that that routine not only helped me, but I do think it helped them knowing what to expect and staying on track. And definitely, thank goodness, my kids finally learned how to sleep. So that's a miracle. And I love my sleep. I need it. I need those 8 hours. So knowing that everybody knows how to sleep, we're good at sleeping, we've been practicing for many, many years. In fact, my older son, even he was home during the holidays, and come 9 p.m. or 9:30, he's like, I'm going to bed. I'm like, that's amazing. I love it. So I think for me, it's been the routine. And I would add a second thing too, and this is so hard in this day and age, but we are so plugged into our mobile devices, and I'm guilty too, the scrolling and the looking and the double checking and the all of that. But when I'm with my kids, even now, I really do try to put down the phone, even if they're scrolling on the phone. It's like, I'm not scrolling my phone, put your phone down. So trying to be present as much as possible. And with them becoming busier and off at college, I do find that having those intentional moments with them where you're dialed in and you're not scrolling, it's because your time is so precious. So trying to maximize my time with my kids in those different intentional ways has been another intentional practice. It does take practice and thought to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. The screens have definitely been a conversation of topic in our household specifically right now. Our daughter is 4 and our son is 2. And so our 4-year-old is, yes, watching screens and doing all of that. And our 2-year-old, because he's sort of in the mix of it all, is now very into all of the screen time and wanting to watch things. And I feel like when I partake in the screen time activity and like interact with it and sort of like call things out or, you know, like make it sort of more of like a time for us to be together, like watching a movie together and actually like walking through and talking about some of the scenes or like what parts I liked and getting excited or having like a dance party, like when a song comes on. You know,
well,
like
really
I feel a little bit better about it. Yeah.
100%.
But the solo screen time is so difficult when like they want to be doing it so much.
I know. You know, the other realization I made too is that the screen, like I grew up on TV, like the, you know, watching the TV, watching my cartoons on the TV. My kids are not into TV, really. They don't, especially my younger son, 17. He never turns on the TV. That's not, he gets his video from his phone. He gets his TV from his phone. So I do acknowledge that it's different mediums, it's different ways of consuming that content. But yeah, it can be just the hours and hours when you're not alone, when you are alone with it and not having interactive dance parties or looking at things. Yeah, that can be where it gets a little bit dangerous, is the hours and hours. And I'm just now thinking of this. I think when my younger son was maybe 9 or 8, and he was taking my iPad back in that time and just doing whatever, scrolling and watching the videos or all of that. And I actually observed his personality shifting a little bit. He's just becoming more kind of closed in. And this was the hardest thing, but I did take the iPad away from him, and he had temper tantrums for probably a couple of days and made my life miserable. It's like, oh my God, it's like, this is harder for me. But I, like after this intervention, maybe 3 days later, it's like, he kind of came back to life. It's almost like a flower that he kind of wilted. He was back. I'm like, this is fascinating. So that was an interesting experiment, but I mean, they have their screens, but it's, yeah, it's just a matter of trying to keep an eye on it, monitor it, and just monitor those hours and hours of time.
Yeah. What could you say, knowing what you know now, to the relationship dynamic of like, if parents have opposing views on certain rules or routine or the way that you're sort of structuring your family?
That is a great question. And it's also, you know, are you in a, I mean, I my marriage dissolved when the kids were, I forget, under the age of 10, I think. So I was running my household the way I wanted to run my household. And then their dad was running the household the way he wanted to run the household. And there were a lot of arguments in that way that I wanted him to do. You know, I talked about structure. The structure worked great for me. He's not so structured. So those were some difficult times in trying to find that middle ground. So I think it is about trying to find that middle ground and trying to have some rules at work for both of the parents. It seems the fairest. So I don't know that I have an answer for that question, but really it becomes a negotiation. And at the end of the day, sometimes, like in the case of parents who are divorced, I learned after time, it's like, I can't control this. I can let my kids know, hey, you know, get to bed on time and do you brush your teeth. And then it's out of my control. So that's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that, I guess, journey like for you, like coming to that realization, navigating divorce, and then being where you're at now?
Yeah. Initially, and I do write about this in the book, and by the way, the name of the book is called A Candid Conversation, Lessons in Life, Love, and Leadership. But the coming to the conclusion that the marriage was headed for a divorce was beyond devastating. It was dark and horrible and tragic and all the things. I've never been in a darker place in my life. One of the reasons I was in a dark place is because I knew, or I thought, okay, I'm about to destroy my kids. Like this action destroys my kids. So that was very, very hard to embrace. But the good news is my kids were not destroyed. They've come out the other side pretty well, in fact. So it was really hard. I can't really make it sound shiny and great. You just do the best you can. Again, going back to the routines, I think having routines, it's like, even though there's some little bit of instability or feeling like instability, it's like, you know, that when you're with me, we're going to have our routine, we're going to do our thing. So that was something that became important to me, especially during the divorce, was let me make them feel as stable as possible which makes me feel a little more stable as we navigate this. But it's not easy. Really going through that, it's kind of one, you know, taking it one day at a time and finding podcasts and finding books that can help shore you up. And I gone away from reading during my marriage, and, or, you know, I'm always a reader, but I hadn't read as much. But when I was going through the divorce process, I went into the library. I was just grabbing every book that I could, just fiction, nonfiction, just filling myself with books and information, just kind of finding joy in reading was something that I also found.
Yeah. What would be something that you would kind of like words of wisdom or like tips or tricks or anything additional that you would want to either tell yourself when you were first entering motherhood or tell somebody now who's navigating through it?
One of my interesting learnings is that I wanted to be the best mom and do all the things you're supposed to do. And I think that there is a, you know, even at the age of like three or two, I don't know, you need to go into a soccer team, and you need to have, you know, swimming competition and all those things at such a young age. And I got caught up in it for sure, where I wanted to be doing those things because it seemed like the right thing to do. Other parents were doing it. I thought it would make me a good parent, like, oh, you're a good parent because you've got your kids and all these things. But I learned it was a lot. And then the terminology overscheduling, they were overscheduled, and it was stressful driving all around, all over the place, and just seemed like there was not a lot of downtime. My advice would be, don't feel pressured to overschedule your kids, especially at that young age. I think if kids get into the soccer camps 8 years old, a little older, I don't think you've missed the boat in becoming an Olympian or becoming a world-class athlete or musician or whatever if you start a little bit later. So that would be my advice, is don't stress yourself out and don't think you're a bad parent if you're not doing all the things, especially at such a really, really young age.
I love that. I love it.
And I see you nodding yes.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, like I said, I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old right now. They just started a little like soccer thing at daycare, and it's once a week for a half an hour.
Perfect.
And who knows what happens, but they get to kick a ball around. They get to be exposed to soccer, but it's not anything that they're, you know, like overstressed about. Our daughter, she also does dance. Yeah. She does it once a week. When we first started the year, she was doing two classes, like back to back, that made it be like an hour long, and it was just too much for her. And I was sort of heartbroken because I was like, well, I want you to be able to do ballet and hip hop and like be able to do like all of the dances. But it was just too hard on her. Like she was like, too much, too long. I don't want to do it. And so like, it's hard when like you feel like, but like you would enjoy this so much, but you actually have to listen to them and like see how they're responding to it. Because if it's a lot for them, like now she just does hip hop and she has fun. I drop her off. She goes in for a half an hour. She leaves and she's done. Like she's happy.
I love
and
that.
It's just like not feeling like disappointed or feeling like they're going to be behind or left out or, you know, not doing all those things. So like hearing you say that, it's just like, it hits when it's like, okay, like she's only four. Like she has so much time to like have all these like, you know, hobbies and dreams and hopes and activities and such. So
And my older son had gotten into competitive golf when he went, maybe when he was 8 or 9 or so, he got into competitive golf and he got really good. So then the family is like, oh my gosh, there's a college scholarship in the future and wow, all the things. And those were our hopes and dreams. But as he got into kind of his teen years, he decided, this is not, I like golf, but I don't want to go for that type of goal. So that was also really, because we put in a lot of time and effort with the lessons and the tournaments and all of those things. And interestingly, there were some other kids his age doing competitive golf that were at every tournament and doing private lessons, you know, 5 days a week, all those things. And we're like, oh gosh, you know, I guess those are the college scholarship kids and all of those things. And by the time college came around, a lot of these kids were like, I quit. Like I'm burned out. I'm like, wow, they went a lot harder than with the parents really went a lot harder, but the kids at the end of the day are like, no. So we kind of tapered off getting that sense like, oh, he's not, I don't know that this is really as important for him. Yes, but it can be heartbreaking when you've really gone in full you know, really looking for to achieve professional status and your kid burns out.
Yeah.
So I've seen all the scenarios, Sarah. I've seen a lot.
Yeah. Well, this has been awesome and amazing. I love this conversation. I love, you know, getting to know you and your backstory, your entrance to motherhood, all about your book and your journey. And I will definitely link in the show notes, like how to get your book, where they can find it and everything. But what else is going on in your life right now? And how else can we get in contact with you and communicate with you?
Thank you. Yeah. So I am talking a lot about the book again, trying to be in service to women, parents, and people going through transitions or difficult times or needing that person to walk alongside of them. So thank you. The book is A Candid Conversation, Lessons in Life, Love, and Leadership by me, Kate Walker. So I'm doing that. And then my day job, so to speak, is I've been working in human resources for a couple of decades as a senior HR professional. So since leaving the corporate world, I do consulting. I do HR consulting for businesses that need that HR presence and seniority, someone to come in and be a fixer type of thing, and also work with managers to help them get strong and develop and become superstars as managers. So those are some things I do as in my business. And then, yeah, being a mom. So I'm on, for business-wise, I'm on LinkedIn at Kate Walker, SPHR. Instagram at the Kate Walker. And I would also add, if you find me on social, let me know where you found me. Let me know that you found me by way of Sarah's podcast or wherever. I like to know where people are coming in from. So let me know. I'd love to connect with you.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Do you have any final words of wisdom or advice to let the listeners chew on after this episode?
Well, I know your podcast, Entering Motherhood. So I'll just say something in service to being a parent is, and this easier said than done, but really just be gentle with yourself. Go easy on yourself. We talked about all the pressure that we as parents feel with all the different activities and the sports, but all of our kids are going to be okay. Everything I've seen it. I've been through it. Everyone's going to be okay. Everyone's going to turn out okay. So just be gentle with yourself as a parent and go a little easier on yourself. And if you need to say no to the play date, say no to the play date, because you need that kind of mental recovery or physical recovery. So yeah, take care of yourself as a parent.
Well, thank you so much again.
I appreciate the conversation. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, mamas, so much for listening. Remember, you are a rock star. I believe in you. Let's doula this. Let's crank it up a notch and let's kick it into high gear together. Hit that subscribe button, share this episode with a friend, message me, email me, call me, beat me. You know how to reach me. We're doing this, mamas. I am so excited to catch you here next week. This is your one-stop go-to place for helping you find the resources you need to make the best choices for you and your family during pregnancy, birth, and most importantly, postpartum. See you later, mamas.